Welcome to Coffee with Friends. I'm Cooper Short.
I'm Preston Stevenson.
Today, we're going to be talking to Preston Stevenson about what it's like to engage in Christian dating. It's going to be a fun time. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. Anyways, we're back. Episode 2 of Coffee with Friends. I'm with another member of my Bible study because apparently I only know like 5 people on the planet and they all happen to be in my Bible study. So that's the extent of the interviews for right now. To give you a quick recap, what even is Coffee with Friends? Coffee with Friends is an interview special where we talk to various believers about their role and different things that they do in light of who they are as a Christian. And so today we're going to be talking to Preston about he and his girlfriend, because they're both believers and they've both been dating. How long have you guys been dating now?
4 or 5 months.
Yeah. So
technically 4 or 5 months, but
yeah, a little bit longer. Yeah, yeah. They were doing that weird talking thing that, you know, the kids do these days. So Preston, go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you, but naturally you're the people on the other side of this microphone probably don't know you.
Again, my name is Preston. I am 21 years old. I'm a junior here at PC. I'm originally from Bowling Springs, which is like Spartanburg, South Carolina, so the upstate. Not very monumental. Nothing really about Spartanburg is.
Easy. Okay, that's the hub city you're talking about.
I know it's the hub city. Not too much. I'm a math major with a data analytics minor. I have 2 future routes that I'm thinking about, and one is potentially getting my doctorate and being a professor for math.
Can I do that?
And also going the data analytics route and doing maybe with sports or with some sort of company, like doing all of their analytics.
Right. So give us like a quick like couple minute testimony about how you came to be a believer.
So I've been going to church ever since I was born. Cub Memorial in Spartanburg. I never loved going to church. I never like hated going to church. It was more or less just like an obligation to go. And I grew up, I learned all the stories. I learned all of the ups and downs of the Bible and everything. But I wouldn't say, oh, another thing is I definitely lived like every other high school student, like nothing crazy, nothing very spiritual, just living life and going to church.
Right.
But when I got to college, I got involved in something that me and Cooper are both part of, campus outreach. And that through campus outreach, I met friends and they really challenged my my understanding of the Bible. I was constantly reading for a semester of my freshman year. And throughout that semester is when I would say I truly became a Christian. And that's when my motives changed, my desires changed, my reading, praying habits changed, and
right.
I've constantly been growing since. So,
right, good stuff, man. So, kind of start off, what's your favorite Bible verse?
My favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:4.
I thought you were going to say 4:13. I was going to roast you.
Oh, sorry.
No offense to Philippians 4:13 lovers. That's just kind of like a John 3:16 kind of verse where it's like, you know, whatever.
My church basketball team had Philippians 4:13 where the name goes on the back.
That's fire.
So
that's kind of fire.
Philippians 4:4 is rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And that's really important to me because a really important aspect of a Christian personally is being joyous always. There's no clauses saying like only if you had a good day or if you had a bad day. It just says rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul realizes that we're probably not going to listen the first time. So he says it again to repeat himself.
Right. So it's, you know, today's April 11th when we're recording this, you know, kind of in this latter half of spring semester, junior year, like what's one way you can see God moving right now, you know, where you're at in life?
So with me being a junior, about to be a senior, I'm moving on after college and I'm still obviously not sure what I'm going to do yet. And that's scary and, could cause a lot of anxiety, But God has been showing me his peace every day through reading, through praying, and just giving me a better understanding of, like, I'm in his hands no matter where I am.
So. Right. Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to the skinny of things, because we're talking about Christian dating. Now, to give a little bit of my input before I let Preston kind of take the reins on this, I have a girlfriend. Her name is Sydney Kate. Not Cindy Kate, not Cindy Kay, as some people like to call her. Her name is Sydney Kate. Sydney Kate is a 46 out of 10. She is phenomenal. And the reason I chose Preston to talk about Christian dating is because Sydney Kate is a believer. She makes me a better believer by dating her. And just from what little bit I know about Preston and his girlfriend, who he'll tell you about in a second, I know he feels the same way. So that's what we're talking to Preston today about, he and his girlfriend and how they date as Christians. And so, first off, you got to tell us who your girlfriend is, what her name is, where she's from, and how you guys met.
So her name is Sage Amaris Hill. Amaris as the flower.
Tell them about her family's nature names.
Some people call their family names woodland creatures. You have Sage, Misty, Rain, Summer, Sky, Forest.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
But she is from Greer, South Carolina. She went to Blue Ridge. She goes to Anderson University. And I met her. She's a studying to be a child life specialist, so she can work with kids that have chronic illnesses and cancer. And I met her at Camp Spearhead, which is a summer camp for adults and children with special needs.
What is your favorite thing to do as a couple? Like, what's something that you like? If you've got Friday night, what do you guys want to do usually? Besides eating, obviously.
Well, I have to include that a little bit because I don't know the last time me and her went out somewhere and did not get ice cream.
Ice cream?
We both love ice cream, especially her. It's a little scary. We both enjoy to dance every so often. Like, we'll just go to a random parking lot and dance. We talk a lot. We drive around all the time, just talking, laughing. Other than that, like, we have this parking lot that we'll go to and sit and talk a lot. So that's generally how a Friday night may look.
I feel that. So in, like, you know, not necessarily a few sentences, but like in kind of a concise way, how would you describe your relationship? Because, like, I'll give you an example. Cindy Kate and I, the way I describe our relationship is she's patient, I'm not, and I'm goal-oriented, and she's detail-oriented. So when stuff gets kind of tough, Cindy Kate holds me down. But when it comes to, you know, pushing through the hard things, I hold Cindy Kate down because I can see what's on the other end, and she focuses on the small things. And on the flip side, I'm going to get mad faster than she is, and so she kind of keeps me down. So we have – I'm not going to say conflicting. We have opposite personality types. And by virtue of having opposite personality types, basically someone takes the lead in different situations and pulls the other along with them. That's kind of how we work.
I would say we also have differing personality types that play off of each other. She works a lot harder than I do in pretty much everything. And I'm the person that will get my stuff done relatively quick because I don't have as much going on. And I will be the one to be like, hey, you got to take a break. Hey, let's do other things.
Right.
Let's get your mind off of this. Like, there's more to life than school.
Right.
Which she knows that. But, like, sometimes, like, in the middle of everything, she's like, I got to do this.
Right.
And also, something that I've thought about before, I would consider our relationship, like, controlled chaos. Because with her being in Anderson and me being at PC, we're, like, hour 15 away from each other. So that's just far enough away to be like, hey, it's Wednesday night. Probably shouldn't go drive all the way over there to see her just randomly. But it's also close enough to be like, hey, it is a Wednesday night.
I could go do it, yeah.
And because of that, like, we will do a lot of spontaneous things like meet in Greenville or something. But at the same time, it's controlled because we both are really well thought out people. And, like, we really think through things before we do them.
Right.
And that is to the outside, it may look very chaotic, but to us, it's generally controlled.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you talk about dating, not even just as Christians, just kind of in general, what is easy for you two in terms of dating? Like, I know for Sydney Kate and I, the easy thing was finding ways to spend time together because we're pretty low maintenance people, so we don't really have to go do anything to feel like we're getting something done. Like, honestly, we'll run off and go hang out with different family members. We'll go to the store for somebody. We'll go play disc golf. We'll go to the store and get drinks. You know, we just kind of do whatever, and we just always do it together. Most of that's because we spend compacted time together over like 3 or 4 days at a time. What's been easy for you two dating, especially from, you know, a moderate distance?
As soon as we got close at camp last year, we realized like how natural it was just us hanging out, like not like kind of how you were saying, like if we're just going to do something, we're going to do it together. Very easy, which is very nice. And also we're able to be like super supportive for each other because we both understand that like we're going different directions, but those directions doesn't mean like necessarily away, but like they're not like on the same path. And we're pretty good understanding that like she needs help in this area, I need help in this area, so like let's provide help in those areas.
Right.
And that's led to a lot of like encouragement.
That makes sense. So what's hard for you two as a couple?
I feel like for most college couples, especially not going to the same college, communication, just because she has a lot going on. She's taking like 30 hours right now, it seems like. It's actually somewhere in the 20s.
And in the 20s? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Might as well be 30. Anything over 18, you're just asking for it.
And I, being a math major, it's not like the easiest major to do. So we're constantly like doing different things like studying or doing projects or whatever. So
right.
Trying to find time where we're actually able to like talk is not the easiest.
Right.
But also miscommunication, just because like we are texting a lot compared to like in person. So like we may misinterpret things or like misread things, and that will kind of add things on sometimes. Right.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too. Something that Sydney Kate and I struggle with is playing a college sport and playing football. Stuff's pretty spontaneous, and so it's pretty hard for me to know a week in advance what I'm doing most days. So a lot of time it's like wake up in the morning and I shoot her a text real quick, and it's like, here's what the next 14 hours look like. And sometimes there's time to call her and talk to her. Sometimes there's not. And so we're kind of hit or miss on things like that too. So I definitely get what you're saying. Tell me a little bit about Sage's spiritual maturity, and then whether or not or what's your view on being equally yoked in spiritual maturity as a dating relationship?
That is probably the thing that attracted me the most to Sage, was that after getting to know her rather well, just how she lived her life challenged my walk in faith. Like, she constantly was like encouraging me and just like loving people and being kind to people. And that was something that I saw as like, this is incredible. I need to spend more time with her. And being equally yoked is a interesting question. That I think being equally yoked is important and not important at the same time to the aspect of like spiritual maturity, because if you're both saved, you're obviously in the right direction. But let's say there's someone that's a lot more spiritually mature than the other, that could lead to a uneven balance of like the spiritual weight,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And also, it's not that big of a deal right now because we're just dating. I feel like when it comes to marriage, that'd be a bigger deal, because
right.
Me right now, I don't consider myself accountable for faith. Like, we're both living
right.
out our lives following Jesus,
right.
And that is bringing us together as well. So I would say that's why it's like not crazy important, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I see it, is something that I really appreciate about Sydney Kate, but something that I also don't feel like I should simultaneously have to worry about is her role in her own spiritual growth. So like the things I don't have to worry about Sydney Kate are going to church, reading her Bible, praying, you know, doing the things she's supposed to do, you know, looking out for other people, you know, all those types of things. I don't have to worry about them. And so that's good for me, but also don't feel like in a dating relationship, I should also have to. My personal view is that those kind of things are reserved for marriage. And so if I have to come into it and basically hold her hand in her spiritual walk, I think that could not be good for her because I might smother her, and it could not be good for me because it might hold me back a little bit, because exactly like you said, our role right now is to chase the cross as individuals and hope that brings us together, you know, as a dating relationship. So I definitely get what you're saying. Kind of in light of that, to kind of add on to that, you know, what are like one or two, maybe three ways that you guys try and keep Christ central in your relationship? Obviously, apart from, you know, the usual stuff that you do as individuals. Like, what's something you guys do actively as a couple to keep Christ in the center of the relationship?
One thing that we do that we're actually doing right now is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. the verse where it says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy or boast. And so there's probably, I don't know, 10, 12 characteristics of love. And every morning when we wake up, we're challenging each other to pursue like the next whatever. Like today we're doing love does not boast. So we're actively trying to not be boastful with our day. And then other things are like, every so often I'll be like, hey, tell me about what you're learning right now. She's currently in 2 Samuel. And so we'll like, she'll just like give me the run through. And that will also kind of help her actually understand how well she's learning what she's learning.
Right.
And other than that is like every so often, like we're praying together, obviously before meals and everything. So other than that's just like little things.
Yeah. A quick plug to roast my girlfriend, Sydney Kate. I always have to pray at meals and I'm starting to get a little tired of it. Okay.
We alternate.
I ask her, see, that's what I'm saying. As I'm saying, other couple, I'm just saying, I'm upset about it.
It did take a few months for us to alternate though. I used to have to do them all.
Well, I've been dating her for almost a year, so it's time for the ball to start rolling. So kind of a couple things to end this off with that kind of go hand in hand is what from your perspective are some tips on Christian dating?
I would say encouragement, because life is hard as it is and we don't need our significant other constantly bringing us down or being like, I have this, this, and this going on with me. Help me. But understanding that you have this going on, but I still need to encourage you so that you can do what you need to get done. Another thing is praying for each other. I think that's very important. I went to a wedding last year, and one of the main points that the pastor was making is that no one should be praying more for each other than the other person. So just keeping them constantly in your prayers and just like keeping them on the forefront of your mind to the point where you're not missing out on a lot of things that they're doing,
right?
Whether that be spiritually or just as a person, because ultimately you're supposed to care about them a lot.
Right. Something I'll add to that too, something Sydney Kate and I focus on is kind of something we focus on is making time for each other and then also cutting time from each other. You know, sometimes we will commit to like, okay, now I'm going to go eat dinner with my family. So I'll talk to you in a little bit, you know, because when Sydney Kate and I are at home, we're 2.5 hours apart. When we're at school, we're 4 hours apart. So it's not as simple as being able to just, you know, drive 45 minutes and see one another. We don't live close. And so we do a lot of texting, a lot of calling on the phone, you know, and something we try to focus on dating as Christians and dating as people in general is, you know, kind of something I'll add. We saw off time for other things. We make each other saw off time for other things. Like I'll tell Sydney Kate sometimes, like, stop texting me, go read so you can go to bed early. You know, just kind of holding each other accountable to prioritize, because naturally I want to prioritize her over like everything else all the time. You know, but that's not always the best for me, practically speaking.
Yeah, I understand that.
So kind of the last thing is, obviously apart from her faith, because otherwise you wouldn't have pursued her in the first place, what do you love about Sage the most?
Oh, I could be here for a while.
Just one thing. Just got to give me one thing. I'll tell you what, I'll go first, okay? The thing I love about Sydney Kate the most is her compassion. Her compassion is absolutely ridiculous. It's almost like inhuman, how compassionate she is. She thinks of other people 100% of the time, and it absolutely blows my mind, because I think of Cooper 99% of the time, and she has really challenged me and made me a better person, because when everything goes wrong or when everything goes right, Sydney Kate is worried about everyone else in the room besides herself, and sometimes that gets her feelings stepped on, but more often than not, it convicts me and it impresses me that she's so like Jesus in that her whole world is about everyone else's, and I find that to be absolutely incredible.
That for Sage would be in my top three, but I would say,
well, I picked it for Sydney Kay, so you got to move on.
Okay. I would say just how loving she is, which pretty easy answer, but constantly, like just seeing her at camp last summer, everything that she was doing, how much of a servant she was being to the campers, how loving she is to her family, how loving she is to people that she doesn't even necessarily like. Don't tell her I said that. And then, or every so often I'll be like, whoa, like I'll see something and I may or may not be like, I forgot the word. What's the word when I'm not trying to do it on purpose?
Accidentally? Subconsciously?
Yes. When I may or may not be subconsciously judging someone, she's like, hey, be nice. Hey, be nice. Always.
That just cuts you, doesn't it?
I get that like four times a day at least.
I see that. My mom does that to me. So yeah. She's already acting like my mom. So congrats.
But yeah, just how loving she is. It's very easy to feel loved by Sage, by anyone.
Yeah, feel that. That's awesome, man. Well, definitely appreciate you coming. I guess tonight we're recording this in the evening, so I appreciate you coming and doing this with me. The next episode, I guess I don't know who we're going to interview next. I'm going to try to not make it somebody from my Bible study, just so it looks like I don't have four friends. I'm working on that. Of course, keeping with the tradition, your CHH Christian rap song of the episode is "Cool Guy Raps" by Ruslan. Ruslan's with King's Dream Entertainment. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a personal fan of his sound. I kind of pick and choose what I like by him as an artist. But in terms of lyricism, in terms of his writing ability, and in terms of his delivery, he's probably one of the best in the game. He's got that like New York kind of Chicago style sound. So I'm not a massive fan, but I mean, I'd call myself a fan. Preston, what are you listening to right now?
What am I listening to right now? I found this guy on YouTube the other week.
Oh my goodness.
His name's Jason Waller. He does a lot of covers for like a lot of popular Christian songs, a lot of hymns.
And has he done Good Father?
No, he hasn't.
Then he's not a real artist.
Oh,
he's not.
You're right.
He's not.
He has Sovereign Over Us.
Okay.
The favorite song right now.
Who's that originally by?
Aaron Keys? Let me double check that.
Don't ask me. I have no idea. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'll be more than happy to reimburse you for the brain cells, of course. I'd like to personally thank Preston for coming on the show this evening. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Calf Christ, because I need some juice. It looks kind of embarrassing. Find us at calfchrist.com. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ, John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Remember, the battle is already won, and never, ever forget to grab coffee with friends. Outie.